be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus told a parable to his disciples. Can one blind man guide another? Surely both will fall into a pit. The disciple is not superior to his teacher. The fully trained disciple will always be like his teacher. Why do you observe the splinter in your brother's eye and never notice the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the splinter out of your eye," when you cannot see the plank in your own? Hypocrite, take the plank out of your own eye first, then you'll be able to see clearly enough to take the splinter out that's in your brother's eye. There is no sound tree that produces rotten fruit, nor again a rotten tree that produces sound fruit. For every tree can be told by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorns, nor grapes from brambles. A good man draws what is good from the store of goodness in his heart. A bad man draws what bad from the store of badness. For a man's words flows out of what fills his heart. The Gospel of the Lord.
By way of an introduction, you know that the Gospels, those four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that are in the second part of the Bible, the New Testament, and that are about the life of Jesus, were written, for the most part, about 25 to 30 years after the events of our Lord's public ministry and crucifixion. And they're written as the first generation of Jesus' followers, especially the apostles, begin to die off. And so what happens is that the Christian community set down in writing what this first generation had taught about Jesus so that it can be passed on from one generation to the next. But what that means is that we have a period of about 25 years when there are no written sources. There's just public preaching. So why am I telling you this? Because sometimes in the Gospels, you get passages like the one we've just read, where you just seem to get this sort of disconnected series of things that Jesus says, disconnected series of proverbs that Jesus said. You know, so this morning we get, the blind can't lead the blind, take the plank out of your own eye, and you shall know them by their fruit, more or less. And one theory that the scripture scholars have is that before Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and let's set aside John because he writes a little bit later and it's slightly different, but again, that's a different homily. One theory is that these three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which are called the Synoptic Gospels because they're written from the same point of view, synoptic, one point of view, okay? These are all based on an earlier written source. This is the theory. The scholars call this source Q, which has been lost, but which was basically a compilation of the sayings of Jesus. And so when you get to these passages, it just means that Luke has scribbled down these sayings that he's picked out of the source Q. These sayings are just snippets from our Lord's preaching, and they might have been said at different times and in different places. And Luke has just sort of jumbled them all together. So there's no point in trying to look for a unity or a line of coherence in the sayings. They're just a jumble, and you have to take each individual saying as an individual saying and work out what that's saying and not try and connect them. I am not a scripture scholar, and so you have to take my opinion with a pinch of salt, but I just don't find that Q theory particularly convincing. I do think that there is a unity in the sayings that we've heard this morning in the gospel. And whether our Lord said them at different times and in different places, I don't know. But nonetheless, I think Luke, who was not an idiot, has arranged them together because there is a thematic unity to be found in the sayings. And I think they're all about leadership. Now, precisely because as a priest, I have a certain leadership role in the church, I think the last thing you need is a leader in the church telling you what you should think about leadership in the church, especially given what's been in the press recently. So what I want to do is I just want to point out the sorts of questions you might want to ask in front of this passage of Scripture and leave you to come to your own conclusions. So when you look at the first part of this discourse, I think the question there is, who should I follow? And the Lord says, can one blind man guide another? And the implication, of course, is that we shouldn't follow blind guides. And then he says that a disciple will become like their master. So if you follow a blind guide, you yourself run the risk of becoming blind. What does that mean? Well, you have to work that out for yourselves. But then the Lord moves on, and there's that famous saying that we all know about removing the plank from your own eye. And I think the Lord is saying, if you want to be a leader, or if you are looking for someone to follow, and if you're looking for the sort of qualities that person, that leader should have, well, they should be humble, and they should be honest about themselves. They should, I was going to say, have dealt with their own issues, but I'm not sure our moral failings ever completely go away in this lifetime. I think our Lord is saying that a leader has to be willing to wrestle with their own human fragility. So beware of those who present themselves as morally perfect and superhuman. We are not angels. All of us are damaged but beautiful, and we live in a damaged but beautiful world. And the third question, I think, is how can I recognize the sort of leader that I should follow? And the Lord says, every tree can be told by its fruit. And again, you'll have to wrestle with that yourselves. But 2,000 years later, the church finds herself in a situation. And I don't think it's right to point the finger at anyone from the pulpit, but you know what the situation is if you've read the newspapers. I don't want to deny the very real human frailty and sometimes wickedness that you have witnessed from those in leadership roles in the church. I think you need to cultivate a healthy skepticism about the human frailty present in the church. And I think if you wrestle with this passage of Scripture, that'll help you to come to some sort of resolution about what leadership in the church means and about what your attitude should be. I certainly think that the cult of personality has to go, has to end. Whoever that personality is, whether it be Pope Benedict or Pope Francis, or whichever archbishop, cardinal, or priest, or religious it might be, we are all fragile human beings. But a healthy skepticism is not the same as cynicism. Remember, the same church has produced heroic saints who have given their lives or who have laid down their lives in service to humanity and in love of God. There may be decadent, callous, or wicked people in the church, and there certainly are problems that need addressed, and there is no excuse for that. But the same church has nurtured saints like Oscar Romero, Mother Teresa, Maximilian Kolbe, Edith Stein, Josephine Bakita, Jana Mawla, and the list goes on. Balanced skepticism, okay. Even righteous anger, a desire for justice, the desire to see that those in power in the church take the proper measures and take them now. Okay. But outright cynicism? I don't think I can justify that. But you have to choose for yourselves. Every tree can be told by its own fruit. For all the wickedness in the church, I find the beauty and the nobility of the lives of countless saints, and yes, the everyday holiness of my parishioners simply leaves me no room for complete cynicism about the church.